Welcome to A Link to the Cast, episode 5 on download, online and on your MP3 player. Welcome to another episode. Nice to have you with us. We've got some news coming up, including news of a possible HD Wii. That's an HD Wii. And also a possible slimline PlayStation 3. That's all to come on the podcast. We'll also talk about a new survey from Metaboly UK about how parents deal with their kids' gaming habits. That's right, we're going all Daily Mail. We've got the world famous headline competition and also reviews of Guitar Hero Greatest Hits on Xbox 360, Rock Band Unplugged on PSP and Bomberman Blast on WiiWare. Let's reacquaint ourselves with the team. I'm Mick. I take a look at all things Wii and DS. Also got Brian Shelf.
Hello.
And Ricardo.
Oh, hail the cast. How are we doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, man. How's life in the PlayStation 3 world?
Things are picking up. Things are good.
I want to touch on Brian and his girlfriend, just because I feel like we should work this into the podcast on a regular basis. People who follow us on Twitter will notice that the Brian got beat on Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, I did. Well, to start off with, and then I found my stride and really romped home. So eventually I won. So, you know, I just was perhaps a little frustrated when I made that that tweet.
Was she impressed when you romped?
My romping was most impressive.
Did you continue to romp for many, many more tracks afterwards? Just keep on going?
We did all four cups.
Okay.
I think it might have been 3-1 in the end. I can't remember. It was very close, though. Well, it wasn't.
No.
it sparked you to call me. I think you called me. I think it was 4 a.m. and said, mate, I've got an idea for a podcast update. Let's discuss Mario Kart and its various sort of...
all its different guises the history of Mario Kart.
Yes, guises. I think we should do that as the next update podcast. 5A, so we'll do that in about 2 weeks' time, depending on when you're listening to this. We'll go through Mario Kart in all its guises. Okay, so it's A Link to the Cast. We're available on www.alinktothecast.co.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go on Twitter, type in A Link to the Cast, follow us. I tell you what, if you do that, we might follow you, make you look more popular as well. We've also got a Facebook group as well. How exciting is that? We're going to do news in a minute, including possible HD Wii. In the meantime, though, we've got to do the headline competition, the world-famous headline competition. Brian Shelf is a big fan of this. It's not contrived in any way, shape, or form, and I'll not hear any arguments against it, especially when you hear this week.
Have you by any chance already thought up the answer to it?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Solid Snake quits sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to the country of their origin.
What? Solid Snake?
Solid Snake quits sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin. Okay, so think of that. So somebody's a Solid Snake. He's quitting what he's doing. He's got a new job, and it's based around baking, and the baking of those who are loyal to their country of their origin. The clues are all there.
You're baking the people who are loyal to their countries of their own origin?
No.
Or it's their baking skills?
It's their baking skills.
Ah, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see.
It's good stuff.
How many entries have we had to this competition?
Well, that's the thing. Well, we do it so well. We wrap it all up, don't we, by the end of the podcast? So there's no need for people to get in contact because we tend to give away the answer. The one answer that I'm looking for.
And only
the one that I've written down here.
Absolutely.
The one that I thought of before I then thought of the question. So that's the headline competition for this week. Solid Snake quit sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin. Okay, so on each podcast, by the way, and we have to do this, we try and get to know the team a little bit better by asking a question. We've asked questions about peanuts and all sorts. Today I'm going to ask this question. Ricardo, I'm going to aim it at you first. Who do you hate?
You can't do that.
Who do you... Just
who do I really hate? Who do I feel has maybe, I don't know, lied to me or something? I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. Say it with a genuine passion. Say it, and I will 100% guarantee that I will beep it out, and therefore you'll be completely protected. So
I hate he's just an absolute grade A lied to me.
Hello. Brian Shelf here. Due to the highly inflammatory and libelous nature of Rick's outburst in the studio there, we're temporarily going to have to remove that from the podcast and just fill in with some slightly more relaxing sounds, the sound of kittens and the sound of the ocean. Not quite as relaxing as I was expecting there. Sounds a little bit like I'm drowning some kittens. But anyway, I think Rick has nearly finished. Perhaps we can go back and join him.
Certainly, I haven't got one anyway. So let's just leave that out of it, right?
Oh, there's going to be an international beep shortage when I finally do that.
Oh, crikey. Brian Shelf, who do you hate?
Who do I hate? I can't stand that bloke who does... Mine's slightly more trivial. The bloke who does the ad bumpers at the moment, the interstitials, I believe they're called, on all Channel 4 comedy things. He's doing bits of stand-up. It's for Three Mobile or something.
All right. They're rubbish. They're meant to be funny.
I can't work out whether they're meant to not be funny, and that's like an ironic thing about it, or they're supposed to be funny and they're just dreadful.
If they're trying to be not funny, then that's the biggest fail ever, because it's just so unfunny. It really, you can't even laugh at
The thing is, if they put them on before Star Stories, it makes Star Stories appear funnier.
Mick, who do you hate?
You know who I hate, and you know what? I don't even know why I hate her. It's Madonna.
I think I do
hate her, and I don't even know why. I just think there's something about her music which I think is massively overrated. And also, I took great delight in reading lots of reviews on Facebook and Twitter, people who went to see it and absolutely couldn't stand the show she did. I think it was the O2, I think she did. And I took such delight in the fact that people hated her gigs. And I thought, why is that? And I thought, you know what, it must just be that I just don't like her and wish her to fail. Not just professionally,
say.
Though, but also personally.
I think it's a bit too late for her to fail, personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think she's probably achieved a lot. I tell you what, Mick, though, do you know what I really like about Madonna?
Is it that she's constantly reinventing herself?
It's like she's constantly reinventing herself, mate.
Oh. It's amazing that a woman that age can still wear a leotard and get away with it.
It's amazing. She could still get away with it without people pointing out that they want to vomit every time they see her lifting her skirt up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
To her credit, though, she does constantly reinvent herself.
I believe during the stage show, she constantly reinvents herself.
Yeah.
She's not even Madonna by the end of it. She's like some kind of robot from the future.
A lot of the reviews were saying, Material Girl wasn't great, but at least she constantly reinvented herself towards the... before the encore, certainly.
I love the way as well a lot of the reviews say, hey, but it's not all about being able to sing live. What, being a live singer? Yeah. Surely should be.
Having your own gig,
that.
40 quid to see you sing on stage is not about singing, I don't see it.
Do you know, I think we should all calm down now. Yeah. There's been too much hate in this room.
Okay, let's do the news. Okay, so in America, I've got the name of a chap by the name of Michael Pachter. He's from a group called Webbush Morgan. They're analysts. He's quite an important man, but basically he's saying that the Xbox 360, by 2015, is going to be third in terms of the home console market. The reason being, he's saying that because there's no penetration in Japan, things aren't going their way there, but also, apparently, it's because the Wii will have a high-definition version by then. I think that's quite exciting, isn't it? A high-definition finishing Wii, it's the only thing it's lacking at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, when they launched the Wii, they said it wasn't all about graphical prowess, but I think maybe even Nintendo's been caught a little bit by surprise by the sort of HD revolution, if you want to say that. People are buying HD TVs and they are demanding that kind of HD experience these days, so I think it makes sense to get the Wii up to high def.
I think it's really hard, though, when anybody said... First of all, you've got to kind of take with a pinch of salt anybody who makes predictions about what games console's going to be wearing, what study they've done, because you just wonder who they're doing that study for and where their interests lie. Not that I'm suggesting this is in any way a biased report, I don't know anything about it, but you get a report from everyone that says, oh, the PS3 will be massive, or the Xbox will be massive. Plus also, we don't know when the next gen of consoles is coming out. We still haven't got a clue yet.
I think that's probably the biggest point in this little thing. I mean, who knows what's going to come out before it? I mean, third is actually pretty good, I'd say, for 2015.
Well, yeah, what I'd say was...
down the line.
Well, I'd say 2015, the 360 is going to be 10 years old by then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, to still be the third biggest console in the marketplace, you've got to expect something else to have come out before that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Well, I'll follow that on with the next story, Chart Track. They're saying that the 360's outsold all of its rivals in the UK this year. apparently 600,000 units in the time period between January and June. That's compared to 300,000 Nintendo DSs and PS3. So it looks like 360 actually is doing better. So, well, a mix of stories there on the 360 front.
That whole story's giving me number blindness. There's too many numbers in there. 360's done something.
Done well in the UK. I think that's it. Yeah, it's been doing well over here for quite a while. I think Europe maybe is not quite the same story as the UK. I think the PS3 is stronger in like Italy and Spain and stuff. Maybe not stronger than the 360, but stronger performance than it's got over here. So, you know,
what's it called in Spain?
Los Plastación 3. You know, I don't know.
That's racist, that. I can't believe you just said that. That was racist. Brian Chell, for Xbox 360, how often do you use it just to go online?
Oh, never.
You can't, can you? Yeah. I mean, not really.
There you go. I don't even know. I don't even know if there's a browser on there. No, I've got too many options. I've got my Wii anyway that I can go online with, which I don't. I've got my little iPod Touch, which I use for downstairs surfing. And I've got my Mac upstairs for upstairs surfing. This obsession with trying to fit browsers and cameras is the other one into everything. In the end, it's just annoying because you don't use them.
You don't? I mean, I use my PS3 to go online. In fact, YouTube has got a separate PlayStation skin these days. I went on it only I think it was only last week, and they've basically updated the CSS behind it to present it in a different way, and it's actually a really smart piece of browser in there. But I use the PS3 in the living room to surf online quite a bit. What about you, Mick, on the Wii?
Well, Wii, no, you see, I've given up on that now because we have a laptop in the living room, so I always just use that instead.
Right.
But interestingly, Microsoft are going to be introducing I think it's via sort of new channels on Xbox Live, abilities to go on Facebook, Twitter and other social networking sites as well. It's not going to be part of a new browser, though.
No, that's exactly the way they're taking it. They're trying to integrate these, you know, phenomenally massive web communities into the Xbox to make it almost a part of the Xbox rather than giving you the internet as a whole.
Is it, but always with anything like this, you know, in 6 months' time, it won't be Twitter anymore.
It's hardly Facebook
anymore. It's certainly not MySpace. So, you know, it's kind of limited functionality.
It's kind of a silly buzzword thing, I think, almost, because, you know, you can do any of these things already on the PS3 or even the PSP, hell, you know, but because they're not actually in partnership with, they can't say it on the box or in the adverts or anything. But you know, you've got the full browser with the PS3, whereas, you know, like you say, in 6 months' time, once they finally got out to drafting it and get the firmware all out to you, there'll be another social networking site out there.
What they actually need is just an application on the thing, because this is all I use my iPod Touch for mostly when I'm sat in front of the television, and I don't know if you're the same with your laptop, Mick. It's basically an argument settler. It's almost immediately as any small disagreement is broken up, it's like, right, Wikipedia, going to find the answer to this one. I win. So, if they just had a simple argument settle on there, like a judge and jury service where
even put in your terms? You just hit a button and it says, you win!
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. You know, as soon as someone says, do you know, bats only fly left when they come out of caves? And you're like, that's clearly nonsense.
Do you know that Chris Packham has got nerve endings in his hair, so every time he has a haircut, he has to go under general anaesthetic?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. He screams so loud that bats actually fly into
Okay, I'm going to do one more story. This is a wild internet rumour, so I'm going to run with it and hope that it's true. There are many rumours flying around that the arrival of the new PS3 Slim is only, well, weeks away. The new PS3 Slim is said to have been ordered by Sony for release in the next few weeks. However, this is merely a speculation at present, and so far there is no hard evidence to back this up. So I think I've sort of raised that story and killed it off at the same time.
Well, there were some photos leaked not so long ago, weren't there?
Classic Sony, really.
Yeah, the casing. Well, yeah, they were sort of released of what it was going to look like. So, and they obviously looked like production models as well. They didn't look like prototypes. It looked like it was actually being made. And Sony sent out all these cease and desist letters, you know, whether it's some clever marketing thing or whether actually these were genuine leaks and Sony didn't want to know people to know about it. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It'd be a nice change of tactic just to get something out there so soon, because the computer games industry now is so based on setting up a story that's going to happen in 18 months' time. That, you know, it might make a change.
I'd certainly be on the side of believing it, really. I mean, pre E3, everybody was kind of talking about whether or not this new PSP Go design was true. And of course, when it came to the Sony conference, they said, "Well, it's already been all over the internet for 3 weeks. It's the worst kept secret in gaming," they're saying. But, you know, some people reckon that Sony released it themselves. But, you know, it's happened with the PS2 Slims as well. They've always only shown out kind of a couple of images before then. They've then released it officially. So, yeah, I'd say there's some truth in it. It would certainly be like a typical Sony move to go slim. It needs it. It's a big mama, the PS3.
Still, the entirety of the PS3 is slightly smaller than the power supply unit with an Xbox 360. Yeah. So,
as long as it makes less noise than that, there.
Yeah. Well, I saw
then I'd be happy.
You mentioned those development shots. I think it basically looked like a Nintendo Wii with a piece of cardboard like the side of a cornflake box stuck to the side of it. That's what it looked like.
Mobile phone grade imagery. I don't know. I've not seen the actual shots yet. I've read about it, but you know, I'd see it as a move that Sony would probably make. Yeah.
Okay, it's a link to the cast on online, on download, and on your MP3 player as well. Going to touch on a story. It's actually a survey from the guys over at Mumsnet and also Metabolite UK, the digital games distributor. Quite interesting, actually. It's found nearly half of Britain's parents admit to a lack of awareness when it comes to the content of their child's video games. Also, the survey's found that parents are forced to issue strict time limits on the amount of time their kids are allowed to play video games. Around 8 in 10 parents, actually, are saying, you know what, you're going to have to turn off the PlayStation 3, the Wii, or the Xbox 360. But also, quite interestingly, parents apparently are more than keen for their kids to play video games. 72% believe that they can actually sort of aid in their child's development. Interesting stuff. I'm going to be joined now by Paul Howes, who's head of Metabolite UK, the digital games distributor. Paul, welcome to A Link to the Cast.
Thanks very much.
First of all, tell us about Metabolite. People will have heard about it online. Tell us about the work that you guys do.
Well, Metabolite is leading the way in terms of digital distribution of video games. It's a company that's been around now for about 6 years. But I'm sure you're aware that the digital distribution element of video gaming is emerging rapidly now. And we're pretty much at the forefront of that. We take classic video games that you could buy through traditional retail. We wrap them in DRM and we distribute them over internet direct to the PC.
The last episode we did, episode 3 of A Link to the Cast, we featured heavily DLC downloadable content, talking about your WiiWares, your PSN, your Xbox Live Arcade, and so on and so forth. I mean, it seems that it's massively on the increase, downloadable only games.
Yes, absolutely. I think it is the future. We've seen it happen in the music market. We're seeing it happening now in the film and the video games market. And I think it's an inevitability.
I mean, in terms of the production side of things, the cost in terms of distributing a game on something like a CD or DVD format, it seems to be a lot higher than it is to actually distribute it purely online.
Yes, there are costs to obviously distribute online, bandwidth costs and so on, and DRM costs, which is copy protection costs. But if you think about the physical distribution of a disc, moving it from distribution centre to retail and then to the end user, I think within 10 years we probably won't see discs at all.
Are other people getting wise to the work that you guys have been doing? I mean, if you look at the popularity of things like the Lost and Damned on Xbox Live, downloadable content only, are people starting now to get wise to the work that you guys have been doing for the last 6 years or so?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we focus on the PC format, which means we are operating in the PC category only at the moment because it's an independent format. But we've already seen massive moves by Microsoft on the Xbox and PlayStation and Sony on the PlayStation to deliver digital exclusive content and digital add-on content.
Okay, we're talking to Paul Howes from Metabolite UK about this new survey. Interesting stuff, actually. Half of Britain's parents admit to a lack of awareness when it comes to the content of their child's video games. The thing that strikes me about this, first of all, how on earth did the child get hold of the game in the first place? Why don't you just sit along and watch the game? They've got ratings on the boxes and so on and so forth. Surely parents have never had more chance to find out what's going on in children's video games.
Yeah, I think the PEGI rating system is actually very comprehensive, and it's clear for parents to see the age appropriateness of any game. I think what this survey has highlighted that parents tend to leave their children playing games and perhaps don't see the content in any sort of detail. Yes, they see the sleeve, they see some elements of the game, but they don't see the full depth of the game because, you know, video games can take considerable amount of time to play through.
What are the main offenders, or who are the main offenders when it comes to kids playing games for a long period of time without the parent knowing about it? I mean, people will talk about games like Grand Theft Auto and things like that. Are there games like that?
Well, I think Grand Theft Auto is a very high-profile game, and I think many parents are aware of this game, and you know they would know that it's not appropriate for, you know, 12-year-olds, for example. I think it's maybe some of the lower-profile games that don't pick up the same media coverage, and parents don't refer to the back of box to see the age rating that perhaps sneak through. One of the things that we've implemented, and we're trying to address this issue as an online distributor, is a parental control function. This enables parents to establish establish ground rules for their children, to set up profiles for each of their children to determine which games they play in terms of age rating, in terms of category of games, and also to determine when they play and for how long they play. And I think this is one of the key advantages of online distribution in the long term, that because we're connected to their PC, we can really monitor almost on behalf of the parents what they're doing.
Do you think parents need to take a little bit more responsibility? You know, the parents are now increasingly wise to CDs which contain lyrics you might not want your child to listen to. The old video nasties, those days seem to have gone now. How long do you think it'll take that the video games industry, or even parents, to catch up with the video games industry?
Oh, I think they're catching up pretty quickly. I mean, it's now a huge business. It's in financial terms, it's bigger than music here in the UK. I think everyone is aware of games, and I think they're becoming rapidly aware of some of the content issues. But it's up to the industry as well to make it easy for parents to understand what their children should and shouldn't play. And it's up to companies like Metabli to implement the sort of tool that we're talking about to give parents the opportunity to control their children's game playing.
Paul Howes from Metabli UK, thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast. Okay, that was Paul Howes from Metabli joining us on A Link to the Cast. It's nice to have a guest on every once in a while. We like that. Alinktothecast.co.uk. You can also sort of follow our particular news feeds on Twitter. Just go on Twitter and type in A Link to the Cast. Search for us. Follow us. We might follow you in return. Let's take a look at the reviews. We've got three reviews in this episode of the podcast. Guitar Hero Greatest Hits on Xbox 360. We're doing our first ever PSP review, actually. It's going to be Rock Band Unplugged. And on WiiWare, another title, Bomberman Blast, which I've been sort of playing away on for a couple of months now. Not had a chance to sort of throw in a proper review, so I'm going to do that now. Strike while the iron is no longer hot, but never mind. We'll start with Guitar Hero Greatest Hits. Brian Shelf playing this on 360.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get it. I thought I'm still getting plenty of play out of World Tour, and then just walked past it in a shop and bought it almost immediately. My Guitar Hero appetite is absolutely insatiable. It's seriously, I don't think I've ever played a game quite as much as as any of the Guitar Hero ones. So it's great just to get a whole load of new songs, because I joined the franchise late. I joined roundabout Guitar Hero 3. And I mean, it's got loads of stuff on, all the way back from the first Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 3. It's got the 80s which nobody's got. It's got stuff from Guitar Hero Aerosmith, which nobody wanted to buy. Actually, no, it sold quite well. Basically, there's not much to say apart from the fact it's exactly the same Guitar Hero that you will absolutely either love or hate. What more is there to say apart from its bead scrolling down that you play along with? There's a couple of new sort of tweaks, because now all the old songs that used to be guitar only, you can also drum on, you can also sing on. So they've all been tweaked like that, and it's built in the new features around the world tour guitar with the taps, the tap bar, and the whammy sort of stuff. But yeah, as far as the songs go, there's a great choice in there. Some which I thought, why have they picked that? I don't really know which that is. But obviously, I think because the fans, quite a lot of the time, were saying which tracks they wanted on. It's ones that are really great to play. It's the kind of things that you would never listen to in a million years. And then you've played it twice on Guitar Hero, and it becomes your favourite song of all time.
Has it got Freebird? Because that is the legendary Guitar Hero track for me.
Yeah.
Wow! Brilliant, love it.
It's got that on there. Although I haven't quite opened it up, yeah, I believe Fire and the Flames is on there as well. So if you want to lose 17 minutes of your life.
What about Lay Down?
Lay Down's
good
on
tune,
that.
Priestess.
But yeah. Here's a good point to make. Although I'm really liking it, I've got some small criticisms. And one of them does involve Lay Down. First of all, what they've done is, and I think they probably thought it's a great idea, is that, up until Guitar Hero 3, there were quite a few covers on there. Because if they couldn't get the original master tracks where they could separate out the guitar and the drums and all that sort of stuff, it wasn't much use to them. So they would get a band to come in and do a really convincing, in most cases, cover of it. And on this one, they've gone back to the original. So there's someone like Rock and Roll All Night, which was one of my favourites on Guitar Hero 3. It's now the original, and therefore it sounds different and also plays different as well.
Right. Well, compared to the previous Guitar Hero games.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the actual notes are slightly different in certain places. And then even ones with Lay Down, which I believe was original first time around. I might be wrong about that.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, they've actually changed some of the notes.
What?
I know. So
what madness is this?
You don't realise that, you know, you'd actually memorised all of the different positions.
Do you mean the bit where he goes dum da 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 dum da 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 da
Yeah, and it's slightly changed. I think it's because what they've done, and you notice this in World Tour, is they made it slightly easier. The hard was almost like the medium, and the expert was almost like the hard. And I think because of the slip around there, some parts have got easier, some parts haven't. But there's some absolute classics on there that I've never played before. Loving Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand. Queens of the Stone Age, No One Knows, is absolutely fantastic to play as well. And there's Woman by Wolfmother. That's an absolute belter. There was a really good Aerosmith one I played last night as well. So
there was a really good Aerosmith one.
I heard him say it too.
Like I say, it's not necessarily about the track. It's about how your fingers move around.
It's about the rock experience around
that. It's not about the overall. It's not about the overall sound. It's about the performance.
Hey, there is one question I've got to ask though.
Yeah.
What would make you stop playing that game?
Well, I'll tell you what nearly made me stop playing it, which is when I got it, and me, I put the first thing in, first track, which is, I can't remember what it is. It's quite something quite simple. Went to use the whammy bar, and snap. Springs broken inside, so it doesn't bounce up and down anymore, so I can't use my whammy bar.
Nightmare.
I nearly had a big old
use his whammy bar.
Yeah, but that's part of the whole rock experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
How can you stand with one foot on the sofa just whammying it up if there's no whammy bar there?
Well, I still do that, Rick. Yeah. The less said, the better. There's two reasons why I close the curtains while I'm playing Guitar Hero.
So what would make you stop playing that? The answer is broken whammy, or did you carry on playing it despite that?
I carried on anyway. What makes me stop
playing? The show must go on.
Yeah, what makes me stop playing it is a sore wrist.
Ricardo, Rock Band Unplugged on PSP. Nobody I know has ever played on a PSP, so you'll have to tell us quite a bit about this.
Oh, well, you know...
I joke, of course.
We just did that. Anyway, back in 2001, Harmonix, they released a game called Frequency. It was a rhythm action game like no other sort of rhythm action game that had been out. Instead of like your typical Bomani or rhythm games, where you normally play just one track or one guitar or instrument at a time, in Frequency, you got to play the whole song, all the instruments separately. So with each song in the game, it's now broken up into four different instrument tracks. You've got your drum track, your bass guitar, your lead guitar, and your vocals, which run literally parallel next to each other on screen at the same time. So in order to play the songs, you've got to nail a sequence in one of the instruments at any time. And once you've done that, once you've nailed it perfectly, that instrument will carry on for another couple of bars, and it gives you the time to then go on and do another instrument. And of course, the better you do, the more tracks you layer up. So you'll get, you know, the lead on top of the bass, on top of the drums, and then the vocals, and you'll have the whole track working in harmony together. But as soon as you start to, you know, miss notes, that track will break, and you've got to keep working on it until you get a perfect sequence so it repairs again, so it actually plays out like it should do. So, you know, the good side of it is once you're rocking, once you're doing really well, the whole track's going off, all the volume's turned up, it's booming out at you, and you know, it sounds really good. But as soon as you start to fall apart, the track itself, you can hear it literally falling apart. Your drum beats will start missing as you miss them, and as you're trying to get that drum track back up to scratch, the bass one will fall apart behind you because it's run out of time, and then the vocals or the lead or whatever. So it can actually sound pretty messy once it goes wrong, and eventually, like all the other Bomani games, you'll get booed off stage if you do really bad.
So essentially, it's like spinning plates.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what it is. Only it's with four different buttons for each of the tracks, and you kind of skip left and right to go between those tracks. And you just got to keep them going, keep them doing reasonably well to keep the audience happy and get to the end of the song. Obviously, like a lot of other rhythm games, it's based on comboing up. So the more that you manage to do perfectly, the better score you'll get by a multiplier. You know, and it's the same sort of thing as before, but, you know, just like other Rock Band games and Guitar Hero games, it's got a great track listing. For the PSP, I think it's quite impressive. There's 41 full master original tracks on there. And it's got classics like the Foo Fighters singing Everlong and Alive by the Pearl Jam. I love that song. And then it's got your kind of hardcore, ridiculous rock like Nine Inch Nails, Perfect Drug, and something by Lamb of God. I've never even heard of them before, whatever that is. And then, of course, it's got your pop rock like Mr. Brightside Killers and, you know, What's My Age Again by Blink-182. There's a really great selection of tracks in there. And of course, there's extra downloadable tracks, but I think this is one of the major flaws with it. You can download extra tracks from the PlayStation Store, but they each cost like at least £1 for one track. And, you know, other people have already got the Rock Band games that do you really want to pay money to get the songs you've already got in another version of the game? There's a lot of criticism going around that. Yeah, exactly. If you've already got it on your PS3, then why do you want to have to pay to get that song again? What would I stop playing it for? I think that's the next question.
That's a good question, which I was about to ask.
It's got to be the PSP battery death.
After about 15 minutes.
Well, yeah. because the game's based on audio tracks, it's continuously spinning that UMD, so it's always working the mechanicals. You can't play a game like this with the volume down, can you? Surely not. So you've got to ramp it up. You've got the screen brightness on. It absolutely kills your battery. So the battery lasts a reasonable amount of time. How many train journeys? I'd say probably one day's commuting.
That's rubbish.
It isn't great. But, if you're at home and the girlfriend's watching TV, you just leave it plugged in. You can play it as long as you want.
Are you still with your girlfriend? Because the last time in the last podcast, you said that you didn't like her anymore.
I did not say that.
Didn't you say, I don't like her and she's fat?
I said, I don't like her, I love her. Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, dear.
Oh, everyone has just been sick.
Sometimes there isn't enough vomit in the world.
I'm reviewing Bomberman Blast on WiiWare this month. It's something I've been sort of playing for a few months now. I'm meaning to sort of touch on it during the podcast, and I've basically not had time because I've had other stuff to touch on. So I'm going to tell you about Bomberman Blast. It's quite simple, really. It's a dead straightforward game. It's Bomberman. Now, on the virtual console, there's been available for a good long while now, Bomberman 93 from the TurboGrafx. It's absolutely brilliant. For me, it's the ultimate sort of incarnation of Bomberman. It plays really well. This is the closest thing that I've actually seen to it, so I'm quite pleased with it, really. The other thing that it's got, and the thing that sets it apart from any other Bomberman game that I've played on, certainly, is its online capabilities. There's none of this single player, you go out and it's like they try and sort of work in an adventure thing into the one player. No, there's none of that. It's all about the game, the bombs, the different levels, the different stages, and also the different varieties of game as well. You can have bombs where you don't have bombs, but they're falling from the sky. You can have ones with whirlpools. You can have ones with zombie hands coming out, trying to grab you, stop you moving, and things like that. There's a couple of great features that I really like in there. When you're playing Bomberman, do you ever find yourself in that situation where you're stuck, you've been trapped, someone has got the better of you, they've trapped you between a crate or a rock or something like that, you can't get out? Guess what? They have this new rocket functionality where if you get it, and then you shake your Wiimote, hear me, shake the Wiimote, you fire a rocket straight up into the air, the bomb goes off, then you land back where you were stood in the first place, and you can move on scot-free. It's quite exciting. There's a couple of things like that. There's also like a shield mode as well, so if there's a bomb coming at you from one particular way, you can actually put your shield up, and that'll protect you for a short period of time. So quite good, actually. The other thing that's there, once you've played through all the battles on single player mode, you can then play as your me. So online, you can then be yourself. You can play 8-player online mode. Pretty good. And the other thing that you can do is you have sort of taunts as well. So if you press the A button, you can sort of stomp your feet, look angry, you can look happy, you can wave, and also you can send messages as well if you're in a friends battle as well. So quite a few features in there which are quite exciting. The online mode for me is absolutely brilliant. You get your rank battles, you can build your score up. The games are absolutely mental, I'll be honest. People are so good at this game. So if you're going to go on and play there, make sure you played the player one, the one player, the single player version first. Try and get as good as you can on that before you try and attempt to take on the world, because you'll get kids from Japan, from Germany, all over the world, and the chances are they're going to absolutely spank you. So play it through on single player, get very good, then try on the online mode. It is excellent. It does play well. There's no lag, no problems. It's dead simple. It's dead straightforward in that way. So I'm delighted with it. But the question is, what will make me stop playing it? Well, it's quite simple, really, because I was playing it with my girlfriend. When we were playing it online, it was great, but of course, she was rubbish, so she kept getting beat. So what I had to do instead was, she said, can we not play Bomberman 93 instead? Because that's got a slightly better in-house multiplayer. So what will make me stop playing Bomberman Blast on WiiWare? It would have to be my girlfriend wanting to play Bomberman 93 instead.
Mick, you see, I don't know if that story 100% holds up, because I've been round at the house when you've been playing Bomberman with your girlfriend, and she absolutely rips you to shreds.
Well, I get lost.
Last time I was there, it was 100% Rhea.
Whoa. I think we've heard this before, actually. I think in a previous podcast we mentioned Rhea's Bomberman skills, so, you know, are you sure it's not you wanting to just switch back to the old school, what you know best?
No, it wasn't at all. In fact, Rick, I seem to remember going around to your place playing Bomberman Worlds on Wii, and you were absolutely dreadful.
I was woeful.
Okay, it's the mailbag on a link to the cast. If you want to get in contact with the show, just drop us a line via www.alinktothecast.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter, just send us a tweet from there, or you can post us a message on our Facebook page, A Link to the Cast. Just type that in on Facebook and the groups page will appear. Someone who's been on via Twitter is Gary in Dundee. Saw you mention Guitar Hero, GH Greatest Hits on Twitter. Is it worth getting if I already have 3 and World Tour? Gary in Dundee.
Well, I've got 3 in World Tour and I bought it and I'm really liking it. So, yeah. Yeah.
And like you said,
there's just a nice spread of titles, tracks from all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you love the original Guitar Heroes and you can't play them on your current console, then why the hell not? It's the only way you're going to get Free Bird on the 360 and PS3, as far as I'm concerned. That's worth it alone.
And of course, as Brian Shelf was saying, the certain titles which are different to the versions which you saw on World Tour and Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, and you can drum along now as well.
Woohoo!
Jake in Manchester, good call on PC versus console debate. There's no competition, although I did laugh at your sad attempts to be balanced. Jake in Manchester, referring to our previous podcast, which is PC versus consoles.
Qualify them as attempts, really. Just sort of making words up to try and, you know, disguise it as being balanced.
And Des in Sheffield, I think you played down PS E3 efforts for this year. Not as depressing as you made out. Come on, Rick, fight the corner. Now, I think that we had a problem in the last, recording of the last podcast, because we'd sort of had the big announcements from Xbox, the big announcements from Microsoft, and only a couple from PlayStation. So you were quite down about the whole thing and the whole E3 thing last time around. But have you been won over since and the subsequent things that we've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a look at some of the, you know, exclusive titles, and I think that's the biggest news that you've got to have for the PS3 from E3. You know, everybody was raving about Project Natal and the PS3 motion sensing thing. Well, I don't really see that as being something that's really going to work. You need an eye toy, if anyone's not seen it, in order to do motion thing, and then you've got to buy these extra wands as well. It's like a peripheral for a peripheral that already exists and isn't very good. So I don't think the motion's the way that the PS3's got to look forward. So, you know, there's 11 brand new brilliant AAA titles from what I can see. We've not got time to go through them already, but the one I'm going to pick is MAG. It's 256, would you believe it? 256 player FPS, taking on like a future angle of Call of Duty, where you're all in your little squads and it's just a massive all-out war, and you can call in airstrikes and things, and that looks like a proper console winning title for me. So, you know, there's a lot to be happy for there. You've got your Agent, Ratchet and Clank Future, Gran Turismo 5, God of War 3, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then there's another 11 or so on my list here of AAA titles which are going multi-platform as well. Things like Modern Warfare 2, Metal Gear Solid Rising, which has actually been announced as PS3 as well. So, you know, that's lightened me up a whole lot as well.
What was that?
So, you know, it wasn't so bad.
That MAG game sounds like a PC title, if you ask me. 256 online players.
Yeah, you know, ever since like broadband gaming and stuff has come out, people say, oh, we're going to have like 60 player online shoot 'em ups and stuff, but it never really happens when it gets to consoles. And I think this is one thing that's gone purposefully big so that they can maybe scale it back, but they're going and they've shown it now running with 256 players on PS3 hardware, so it's going to happen and it looks phenomenal.
And when you say online, do you mean on the internet?
Indeed, on the actual internet, on the PlayStation Network. Yeah.
And does that work if you have dial-up?
No. It's all broadband. Come on.
Great. I was just
get with the future.
That was just for the people who were idiots. But I just thought that I'd drop that in. We like to bust some jargon there. But yeah, sounds interesting. So you won over then. Des in Sheffield says fight the corner. Is that you fighting the corner? A big multiplayer.
There's a whole lot more. I just don't think we've quite got time for it.
No, we haven't. So moving on, we're wrapping up the headline competition now, which we introduce each and every podcast. The episode 5 competition ran like this. Solid Snake quit sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin. That's Solid Snake quit sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin. I can tell Rick is ready to deliver his answer, but I'll wait on that one. And Brian Shelf, what have you got?
don't know, metal patriot cake.
Baker eater from me. I think that's about it, you know, yeah, rubbish.
Yeah.
Go on.
Was that it?
Yeah,
that's it. That is as bad as it gets right now. Come on.
There's dissent amongst the troops on this whole competition.
Everybody, right? Everybody get ready for the groans. Are you ready for this? So Solid Snake quit sneaking around to test the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin. The answer I was looking for was Metal Gear Solid 4, Buns of the Patriots.
Oh, my word. I can't believe we're running with this still.
Testing the baking skills of those who are loyal to their country of origin.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Buns of the Patriots. Patriots, people who are loyal to their country of origin. It writes itself.
I could edit this.
It writes itself.
I could edit this entire competition out and no one will be aware of the fact.
There will be a... Well, an uprising. Anyway, yeah. If you want to get in contact with the podcast, www.linktothecast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter and follow us via Facebook as well. I've been Mick, Brian Shelf as well.
See ya.
And Ricardo.
Adios.
Next time, I'm going to be playing Conduit, the new first-person shooter on Wii. It's got Wii Speak compatibility as well, so it's quite exciting. Brian Shelf, do you know what you're going to be reviewing just yet?
Oh, I'm just going to let nature take its course and see what falls into my lap.
I'm Ricardo.
Yeah, I'm going to see what the wind. Otherwise, I'm going to import something ridiculous from Japan.
Excellent stuff. We're going to be back in 2 weeks' time where we're going to do a Mario Kart special looking at all the different guises of Mario Kart over the last, what, 15 years now? Is it longer?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, must be. It's where my first incarnation was at a university, so...
So that's about 25 years, yeah.
Yeah,
so, a link to the cast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, depending on when you're listening to this. So, Pip, farewell.
Have fun.
Ciao. Brought that idea, that gameplay idea, back into the new Rock Band franchise. So, with each...
Oh. Can I just stop you there 1 second? I really need to go to the bathroom. Can I leave you just talking there and I'll be back in a second?
Yeah, sure.
All right, cool.
That cool?
By the way, this is the outtake, people.
Oh, rock and roll. All right, ready? So, with each song in the game, as soon as you start to fall apart, your drums beats are going and it all sounds a bit funky and he's coming in.
Done and dusted. I didn't need to dust it, actually. It was...